If it's Dallas, there must be international soccer headed our way, and not just the 2026 FIFA World Cup. On this episode of Mic Drop Dallas, we talk international soccer with Philippe Mojo, General Secretary of CONCACAF, about the Nations League matches headed our way. Then we cover the surging interest in women's basketball with Megan Perry. She's the Director of Basketball for Athletes Unlimited, whose third season is underway at Fair Park Coliseum with a twist. It's season 5, episode 2, so let's drop the mic and let's go. Welcome to Mic Drop Dallas, everybody, the official podcast of the Dallas Sports Commission. It's Kevin Sullivan here, along with Dallas Sports Commission Executive Director Monica Paul and our on-air producer, Next Level, Marcus Carr. Before we get to our guest, Monica, as always, there's mic drop moments going around Dallas-Fort Worth. The Rangers are about to begin their World Series championship defense, and I just wanted to drop one nugget. Remember the name Wyatt Langford. Evan Grant mentioned Wyatt when he was on the pod the end of season 4, and it does look like, according to Evan of the Morning News, that the Rangers' 2023 first-round draft pick could be in the opening day lineup, probably a DH, maybe in the outfield. This is the next wave of Rangers' young stars. We saw Evan Carter burst through last year. Wyatt Langford, this is kind of a prediction of a future mic drop moment for the Rangers and Wyatt Langford. So, Monica, what's happening over at the Sports Commission?
Well, Sully, never a dull moment. Obviously, a lot of soccer, as you mentioned, really getting prepared for this CONCACAF Nations League finals taking place over at AT&T Stadium, as well as the Copa America play-in matches that will be taking place over at Toyota Stadium in Frisco. We follow that up with Dallas Cup, our annual, very prestigious youth soccer event that will be taking place at MoneyGram, Cotton Bowl, Toyota Stadium, throughout the Metroplex. So really looking forward to welcoming all of those teams and international visitors into the DFW area. In addition, we have American Taekwondo Association coming into town and really just trying to prepare for some additional bids and what big events we have coming this summer as well. So a lot going on.
You're also focused on college hoops. Of course, your beloved Texas Longhorns women's team won the Big 12 tournament last night as we record this on Wednesday morning. The Longhorns men's team, of course, about ready to make another run at it. What about college hoops? How's your heart rate in terms of the Longhorns, and what do we have coming to Dallas?
Well, coming to Dallas, you know, NCAA men's regional. So the NCAA will release the brackets on Sunday, and we'll have an idea of what teams have the ability to make it to Dallas for that regional. Excited to be hosting men's basketball here at the American Airlines Center at the end of March. And in addition, I have been watching some women's hoops lately. I think the conference championship tournaments this past weekend were pretty interesting. You're getting a lot of teams starting to surge here. The LSU-South Carolina matchup was great. It's always, you know, a delight to follow Caitlin Clark in Iowa and see if they can make it back to that championship in the Final Four. And, of course, my Longhorns are coming on strong as well. So really have my fingers crossed there. And even though we're not hosting NCAA tournament for on the women's side this year, definitely following, just to follow up on the fantastic championship that we had last year and continue as we look forward to planning a future women's Final Four in 2031. So really excited to see that growth and the energy around women's sports.
Yeah, and we'll pick up that conversation with Megan Perry of Athletes Unlimited basketball, pro basketball, taking place right now at Fair Park. But we saw, speaking of Caitlin Clark, the Big Ten Women's Tournament Championship game, where they came from behind to beat Nebraska in dramatic fashion, led by Caitlin Clark. The most watched women's game on TV since 1999. which is a huge statement given how much TV has changed. And it ranked high among college games this year, regardless of gender. So women's basketball surging, and more to come on that in this episode of Mike Drop Dallas. So back in a moment to talk CONCACAF Nations League with Philippe Mojo. First, over to Rachel.
Get ready, sports fans. This fall is stacked with events right here in the Big D. From food, sport, to football, the number one sports business city has something for everyone. Head to DallasSports.org to sign up for access to exclusive ticket announcements, discounts, and pre-sales to be part of the next big win.
And now, welcome to the Mic Drop, Philippe Mojo. He has been the General Secretary of CONCACAF since June 2016. This role is the equivalent of a CEO, leading the Confederation's daily business and operations. Previously, Philippe was Senior Vice President of Latin America for the NBA. He spent 10 years in investment banking. He was also a professional tennis player from 1995 to 1998 and represented Colombia in multiple Davis Cup tournaments. He is a dual citizen from France and Colombia and a graduate of Duke University and the University of Western Sydney. Welcome, Philippe, to Mic Drop Dallas.
Thank you, Monica. It's a pleasure to be with you. And I have to tell you that bio is a little outdated because I am now an American citizen. So I have a triple nationality.
Fantastic. Well, we will update that for the next time. And something else we just learned about Philippe, everyone, is he is an avid barbecue fan. So when he's here in Dallas next week and hopefully many more times to come in the future, we're going to explore some of our best barbecue out there. But
love it.
Philippe, we've got a lot coming up here with CONCACAF Nations League Finals taking place this coming week. We've been great partners for many years, CONCACAF Gold Cups, et cetera. Hope to many, many years into the future and continue kind of our legacy of soccer. But a lot of people may not know what exactly CONCACAF is. So could you let our listeners know what is CONCACAF, describe the regions you represent and the role that CONCACAF plays in international soccer?
Great. Thank you, Monica. And thank you to you and to Marcus for having me on. It's a pleasure to be with you. And, you know, we're thrilled to be going into Dallas next week with our Nations League Finals. But to answer your question about what CONCACAF is, we are the Confederation of North America, Central America, and Caribbean Association Football. That's a mouthful. Basically, what that stands for is we are one of six FIFA continental bodies through which FIFA governs the sport of football, of soccer, in our region. And our region is comprised of 41 member associations, 41 federations across the Caribbean, across Central America, and in North America. Here in North America, it's obviously the U.S., Canada, and Mexico. And we work with these 41 federations in growing the sport of soccer, whether it's through development activities or through competitions. And CONCACAF runs all the official competitions that qualify into FIFA World Cups and also our own competitions, such as the Gold Cup and the Nations League. We do that on the men's side, on the women's side, and obviously all the youth activities, futsal, beach soccer, you name it. But our primary mission is to grow the sport of soccer on a regional basis.
Well, I know, I think you just completed your CONCACAF Women's Gold Cup here just recently. So a lot of good action going on. And I know people that I haven't really followed soccer in the past, whether it's the World Cup, you know, craze that's going on as we prepare for 2026, or that they're just aware of CONCACAF, that a lot of people had started watching that and been commenting on it. So I think we're definitely seeing the transition of people here in the United States being a little bit more educated on soccer and starting to follow from an international standpoint. So that's great.
Love to hear that, Monica, because the next 3 years is really an unprecedented time for soccer in the U.S., right? With everything going on leading up to the World Cup, everything has to go through CONCACAF. So we have tremendous amount of activity, very exciting activity Starting with a fantastic Nations League finals, which happens in Dallas next week. So we're very excited building up to that.
Yeah, so on March 21st, we've got United States taking on Jamaica and then Panama taking on Mexico for those two semifinal matches. The third place match and the finals are on Sunday, March 24th. Philippe, what should people know about the competition? What can they expect there at AT&T Stadium?
This competition, the CONCACAF Nations League, has been a transformational competition for us. It's been transformational because what it's given all our federations is the opportunity to compete in a consistent basis on all FIFA windows during a four-year cycle. Four-year cycle will be defined between FIFA World Cups. In the past, a lot of our members had World Cup qualification, and once they would be out of that, they really wouldn't have the opportunity to compete on official competitions, and a lot of them wouldn't even be fielding friendlies, like the bigger members. So what we've done with Nation League is create the opportunity for everybody to compete consistently during the four-year cycle, whether it's through Nation League or in World Cup qualification. And we believe that is the best opportunity for all our members to develop and to compete at the same level, because the Nations League is a tiered competition divided across three leagues with promotion and relegation between them. So if you're performing well, you'll be promoted, and it has really something for everybody. You can compete in starting League C. If you're performing well, you'll be promoted, so on. And at the top, we have obviously the opportunity for the top teams to compete in the Nations League finals.
So in addition to Nations League finals, and other CONCACAF teams will be taking shape here and play on Saturday, March 23rd out at Toyota Stadium. Talk a little bit about those play-in matches towards Copa America.
Yeah, those play-in matches are really important for those four teams that lost in the quarterfinal of our Nations League, but they still have the opportunity to earn a spot in the Copa America, which is being played in the U.S. This summer, right? We have six teams being represented into that competition, and we have now four that have qualified. So the two remaining spots will be determined through those play-in matches to be played in Toyota Stadium on the 23rd in March there in Frisco. So a lot of expectation for these matchups. Canada plays Trinidad and Tobago, and Honduras plays Costa Rica. So the winner of each of those matchups will advance and get the opportunity to represent CONCACAF as the last two teams in what is going to be a fantastic tournament this summer, which will also have some matches being played at AT&T Stadium. So that's also a great opportunity for fans in Dallas to witness some fantastic football.
We know that the atmosphere, you know, in AT&T Stadium is electric. You know, anytime there's soccer inside AT&T Stadium, what would you say, you know, the fan experience from your perspective is for someone who's never been to, you know, a CONCACAF match, or now, you know, the Nation League's, you know, finals, which is, you know, even like you said, on a bigger deal for these teams. So what would you say the fan experience is going to be, you know, in AT&T Stadium, you know, over the next weekend?
Well, first, we've always had a fantastic fan experience at AT&T Stadium when we played there historically. In the last two Gold Cups, we've played quarterfinal matches there, and the atmosphere is electric. We really have a very passionate and avid soccer base of fans in Dallas. And they show up, whether it's following the Mexican national team, whether it's following the U.S. national team. And we certainly have a lot of our fans from our Central American nations that show up and pull for their team. So we have a little bit of everything for all these fan bases, all these sets of fans. And we think the atmosphere heading into this third edition of the Nations League to crown the third winner here, the U.S. has claimed the last two. So obviously they have a great momentum heading in, but Mexico is coming in very strong, having won our Gold Cup. And certainly Jamaica and Panama had very strong showings in the quarterfinals, They're coming in strong, hungry, and we think those semifinal matches are going to be really fantastic. And then the opportunity to claim the trophy for the third edition of our Nations League. So I think it's going to be an electric atmosphere there for all sets of four matches. You're going to see a lot of really passionate fans that are going to get behind their national teams in this event.
You know, Dallas has seen a growing interest, from a soccer standpoint since, you know, the Gold Cup's been here, since FC Dallas is really started to pick up some traction here. What makes Dallas, you know, such a strong, soccer market as a whole? We've seen the Dallas Cup, you know, continually grow, like you said, Gold Cup, and now we're seeing the Nation League's finals, you know, here at AT&T Stadium, one of the most beautiful facilities in the world. What makes Dallas to you, you know, attractive soccer market or even just a growing soccer market?
Well, I think what you said, the fact that there's a great MLS team there that has a direct link to fans in the overall Dallas metropolitan area. The fact that it's got a strong U.S. Hispanic base also obviously helps contribute to following the sport avidly. The fact that we've been there many times in the past and that AT&T is one of the top venues in the world, offering a great experience for anybody, even the casual football fan, soccer fan, can go in and have a tremendous experience. So really offers a combination of elements that are very unique that make it a very attractive market for us, CONCACAF, to continue to go back to, for FIFA to choose Dallas to host 9 World Cup matches, including a semifinal, for us to work with CONMEBOL and determine that Dallas is certainly a market we want to play Copa America matches in. So all that just really offers a great opportunity for any organizing body to play there. But also it's a tremendous support that the Dallas Sports Commission, that the city of Dallas offers us on a continual basis. We have a great relationship with you. You're always welcoming us and helping us with anything we may need. And obviously that's contributes tremendously to us wanting to come back to Dallas on a continual basis.
So Philippe, I know this World Cup coming up here in 2026 is going to be big. Obviously largest number of teams or increased number of teams for this World Cup. USA, Mexico, and Canada all hosting matches. We witnessed after 1994, you know, huge growth in soccer here in the United States with the development of the MLS and, you know, continued growth. We're expecting, you know, huge strides and more soccer development through 2026 and then after. If from a CONCACAF standpoint, you could kind of wave your magical wand and say after 2026 we hope to see this, or if there are certain key legacy projects that, you know, may be beneficial for CONCACAF, or how can host cities participate in helping CONCACAF outside of the FIFA, you know, role, realize their vision of how soccer could grow, or other legacies after the World Cup. What might that look like?
Yeah, Monica, you touched on what the 1994 World Cup did for soccer in this country and what it created. It provided a platform for the MLS to develop and be founded, and we've seen tremendous growth since then. So, you know, everybody feels and understands that this World Cup coming back to the US, to Canada, and to Mexico is going to be massive for the growth of the sport in our region. So when we think about legacy, obviously we will measure that in terms of how many more fans are now following the sport, how it's helped the MLS, the NWSL, and every other league here in our region grow. But from a CONCACAF perspective, when we think about legacy, really is how we're going to take advantage of what the World Cup in 2020 is affording us in the next 3 years. We have so much opportunity to give our member associations and our teams the opportunity to put their best foot forward for this World Cup, to prepare in the best way possible. The US, Mexico, and Canada are hosting, and therefore, by virtue of hosting, they're automatically qualified. And that, in a way, keeps them from really having tough official competition in the next 3 years. So looking at that roadmap, we say, okay, well, the Nations League, we have two editions of that in the next 3 years. Obviously, our finals coming up in Dallas, and then we have edition 4.0 starting in 24. We have another Gold Cup in 2025. And then obviously this summer, the opportunity to work with CONMEBOL on the Copa America. So there's tremendous, great opportunities for our members to prepare in the best way possible, whether it's they're already automatically qualified or those that are going to be competing in qualification starting actually this summer. And how we take advantage of that is the best legacy that we can have, because we know it's really going to help our nations develop. There might be some that are one or two that qualify for the first time ever to a World Cup, and that's going to be absolutely a game changer for them in their specific country. Those that qualify for another time, again, it's just another real momentum shifter for them in their respective evolution. So there's just so much opportunity for the sport in these next 4 years. And we know it really is going to take it to the next level. And we believe that, you know, we don't have the specific time frame, but soccer, football will become the number two sport in this country over time.
Without a doubt. And I think, you know, one of the other things that I'm most excited about is how this 26 World Cup can help grow the women's game here locally as well. I'm sure it will help on the CONCACAF and just overall the, you know, entire world's from a women's soccer standpoint. Obviously down the road, we'd love to follow up on 26 and host a FIFA Women's World Cup. And it's just kind of refreshing to see the growth on the, that's taking place on the women's side, including your CONCACAF Women's Gold Cup and other initiatives that you do there. So just thank you for that, but hoping that's going to be some of the legacy as well.
No doubt it will be. You know, this World Cup will bring new fans, men and women, and yep. And given what is happening in women's football, there's no doubt that that there's tremendous opportunities on the women's side. We're so thrilled to have just finished our inaugural W Gold Cup this past weekend. We had a fantastic experience throughout the competition and a great final between the U.S. and Brazil in San Diego. It also finalizes a period of 5 years of our W strategy, which we launched in 2019, and now gives us the opportunity to build on that strategy and think about what this next competition cycle looks like. So you rest assured that we will be coming with women's competitions to Dallas very soon, whether it's similar concept as a Nation League or a future W Gold Cup. But again, just because we always have such a great experience and Dallas offers such a great fan experience, we will be coming back to Dallas with many more activities in the future.
Well, Philippe, I'm looking forward to seeing you in person next week. And thank you for joining us on Mic Drop Dallas. Everyone, go to CONCACAF.com to get your tickets for USA, Jamaica, and Mexico, Panama on March 21st in the third place in the finals taking place on Sunday, March 24th. And now over to Rachel for a word from one of our sponsors.
Get ready, sports fans. This fall is stacked with events right here in the Big D. From food, sport to football, the number one sports business city has something for everyone. Head to DallasSports.org to sign up for access to exclusive ticket announcements, discounts, and pre-sales to be part of the next big win.
We are so happy to welcome Megan Perry to Mic Drop Dallas. She is the director of basketball with Athletes Unlimited Pro Sports, which is underway at Fair Park Coliseum through March 23rd. Megan has over 15 years of experience in sports. She's one of those people. And Megan, we love having people like you on Mic Drop Dallas who have had a really interesting career. She has spent time in sports and media and entertainment. She's worked at the NBA, the WNBA. She was a vice president of executive engagement and women's initiatives for the Sports Innovation Lab, which is a very cool company. Check that out. And beyond the boardroom, Megan has served as on-air talent covering the NBA as well as college hoops on Bally Sports, CBS Sports Network, and ESPN. She played college ball at Cornell, number 42 in your program. And we are so happy, Megan, to welcome you to Mic Drop Dallas. Thanks for making some time for us.
Of course. That was quite the introduction. I appreciate the lovely hype, Kevin. That was wonderful.
Well, you're welcome, Megan. And let's start before we get to AU pro sports and your role with basketball. Let's start with the surging interest in women's sports in general and women's basketball in particular. And I think this is bigger than just Caitlin Clark fans. There's all kinds of evidence everywhere, whether it's TV ratings. Monica and I were talking about this a little bit in the open. We saw the Iowa-Nebraska game in the Big Ten tournament, the championship game, most watched women's game since 1999. All kinds of other records are falling. What do you attribute that?
You know, I love this question, and I adore talking about women's sports. So I'll try to keep it as concise as possible for you, Kevin and Monica. But overall, I would say the world is becoming aware that women's sports is bursting at the seams. But for those like myself that have been in it, that have been following and these smaller like online communities, you know, like kind of under the radar for all these years where women's sports has kind of been forced to be, not necessarily been welcomed on the mainstream. I feel like the rest of the world is just catching up, and it's catching up because people are finally starting to like invest. And I think women's stories are being told in a way that are more relatable. I think that's a huge piece. And like these household names, like a Caitlin Clark or Angel Reese, some of these names existed years ago. I mean, let's not forget they're top, you know, with women, I'll talk about women's basketball, it's in my space. Names like Maya Moore, Lisa Leslie, Cheryl Swoops. I mean, it's not new to the women in the sports community, but I think what's really been great over the past, I would say even 10 years has been the appetite to get to know how dynamic these women are, and understanding that like it's just like, you know, your mom, your sister, your cousin, and understanding kind of like them as the just dynamic women that they are rather than just athletes. That's, I think, has been the key.
So AU pro basketball is in its third season, your first season. Explain for our listeners, and we've done a couple shows on Athletes Unlimited in the past, both volleyball and basketball. Shout out Molly McCage, friend of the pod on the volleyball side. Explain sort of the model for our listeners and in what ways the league has been advanced and some new things for here in year three.
Sure. So Athletes Unlimited, I always tell people what I love about just overall Athletes Unlimited, like we are a network of professional sports women's leagues, right? So outside of basketball, which I oversee, we do have volleyball, softball, and lacrosse. And for basketball specifically, I try to keep it simple at first and help people understand what we put on the floor is the product that you traditionally know is just 5-on-5 basketball. Lace it up, toss the ball up, they hoop. What's special about AU is at our core, we are an athlete driven organization. So we put the athlete at the center of decision making. Like the athletes are our governing body. We are governed by what we call our Player Executive Committee, our PEC, which for some people might be familiar with other leagues like the NBA, and they have the NBPA or WNBPA, the union or the Players Association. We put that at the center of our business model, and we consult our players on everything from players that we're bringing in and building our roster to where we play, when we play, what we're wearing on the floor. Like every single decision, we include the player's perspective in that. And I think that puts Athletes Unlimited ahead of where a lot of sports actually are right now. We're where everyone's trying to get to. We started there. And that's what I love. We're super innovative. And then we have a unique scoring system in play that is based around a leaderboard. So when you come to an AU basketball game, you're going to see the leaderboard, and we are competing to crown one individual champion. It's not a team. Our players are moving up and down the leaderboard based on a super smart point system that allows them to earn positive points for great plays that contribute to team wins, and negative points for some of those not so welcome basketball plays. But what's really cool about it is like the players in the driver's seat. So we have 40 players this year across our roster. And every single week, we identify captains. The captains are the top four players on that leaderboard, and they select their team. So what's super cool is that, yes, it's 5-on-5 basketball, but each week there could be a different captain. There could be, you could be drafted to a different team, and there's different dynamics at play every single week. So we love the little extra spice and the layer that provides, and helping fans like engage more and follow along and get engrossed in the storylines that are kind of like beneath the surface, you know? So that's what makes Athletes Unlimited basketball a little bit different and special.
In addition to that twist of the redraft every week for this season, you also have more WNBA players and more Olympic gold medal winners than ever before. Drop some names for us about who fans could see when they go out to the Fair Park Coliseum.
Absolutely. You know, I'll say that we're really excited about how our roster came out this season. Over 70% of our roster includes WNBA talent, players that most people are already familiar with. So a name you might know is Angel McCautry. She's a multi-time Olympic gold medalist, like I think about 9-time WNBA All-Star. Dynamic, one of the most accomplished professional women's basketball players to date. You might know the name Natasha Cloud is back, often a fan favorite. Lexi Brown is in the house. Teresa Plaisance, Sydney Colson, gosh, the list goes on and on. I'm super excited about Alicia Gray, Kelsey Mitchell. I mean, we have elite talent on the floor. We're talking WNBA All-Stars, former NCAA champions, like I said, Olympians. So we have a really healthy mix of talent, and we're excited about being able to come watch like a high level of hoops. You know, that's what you're going to get when you come to Fair Park. You're going to see world-class athletes on the floor competing at a high level and having fun doing it. You know,
well, Megan, I love to watch the basketball product. I think the energy there on the court is like no other. So I really encourage people to head out to Fair Park to take that opportunity, because we've got 5 weeks and now 3 remaining weeks of the AU Pro season. So, Megan, are you seeing because of AU Pro basketball, are you seeing more women able to stay stateside to play professionally? Compared to, you know, maybe having to go overseas as the only option beforehand?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I love talking about this. I mean, like I said, AU basketball is, I call it 3 years young. We're in our third season. And so when you kind of think about that and the landscape of professional women's basketball, I mean, professional women's basketball has been around a lot, but the way that we're doing it here is different and young. And it was founded with the idea that we want to provide a platform, a space, an additional option, really, for professional women's basketball players to be able to play here domestically in the United States, right? The WNBA only has 144 roster spots, but women's basketball, like the players, the competition, it demands more opportunities. Fans are demanding more. They want to consume more. So this was founded with the idea of, we want women to be able to practice their craft for as long as they would like to here and not have to choose between, you know, going overseas, staying with their families. The option to be able to be here and to be able to do both and have both is really significant. Additionally, I think it provides an opportunity for more fans to get to know our athletes, because they're not overseas. There's more visibility to them here. And I think that also helps just as far as pushing our business and growing our business, right? Like exposure to what we have to offer. I think that really just is helping move the needle. And so it was founded with the idea in mind of providing that domestic option so that they do not have to choose, and they can do more. They can do more additional. And in addition to, you know, we all know how much is happening around NIL deals, different endorsements of female athletes right now. And when you can see and be close to them, I think those opportunities continue to blow and grow and blossom. And so having AU available for some of these marquee athletes to stick around and to play in the off season of the WNBA has been a really healthy mix.
Well, you hit on my next point a little bit in this last question. And we definitely want our listeners to head over to Fair Park Coliseum to take in the action in person. But AU Pro Sports just recently announced a multi-year extension of your agreement with ESPN. What does that say about your product?
I think it speaks to the growth of our product. I mean, and it's so quickly in our third season. It's pretty rare to find a women's league that's able to garner that type of partnership that quickly. And I think it speaks to the confidence that I think the market has in what we're building. So we're super excited to be a part of the ESPN platform. You know, sports fan traditionally they go there, they know where to find elite sports, and to say that we are a part of that, I think puts a stake in the ground for us. And it says that our future is bright. Like, we don't want to just stop there. But I think it says a lot about how committed we are as well to sharing the stories of our athletes, making our games accessible. We're excited to be a part of the ESPN family. We also have our games available on the WNBA app, with Bally Sports, with KTXA. I mean, we are all over. We want you all to know where to go to find us, and we want to show up in multiple places to make it easy for fans to consume our product.
Well, you have an additional event, I think, this weekend coming up in a celebrity game. And I just found out that our producer here at the Mic Drop Dallas, Merrick Gooden, is one of your celebrities going to be on the court this weekend playing in that game. Tell us a little bit more about this celebrity game for our listeners.
Yeah, we're so excited to be able to kind of try something new this season and really kind of wrap our arms around two things at one time. I think the professional like media landscape and influencers, we've invited a number of people that cover women's basketball, just sports in general, to get to know our athletes, our product up close, to be able to come in and welcome them to our family, but also to give a nod to legends of Texas women's basketball. We think it's so important not only to continue to push for the future, right, and evolve, but to also salute some of the legends that helped lay the foundation and that groundwork. And so we came up with the celebrity game idea to really engage the community around saluting legends and really wrapping our arms around some of the most influential voices, we think specifically, around the Dallas area and beyond. So we'll be tipping off after our first two games on Saturday. The celebrity game tips off at 7:30. So we want fans to stick around, like come in and see some of your favorite personalities hanging out on the sidelines. We'll have some of our players around, so some names. I will not spoil any surprises, but we're super excited about, I would say, one of the goats of professional women's basketball being in attendance and being able to honor her. So come out. It'll be a treat.
I've kind of seen a sneak peek at this list, and it is going to be a treat. I will tell you that. I'll look forward to taking in some of that action this weekend over at Fair Park Coliseum. Megan, before I turn it back over to Sully and we let you go and wrap up, I always try to ask a question about your career journey and what advice you would have for the younger people coming up that'll be, you know, leading our organizations in the future that, you know, want to be in sports. And what advice would you give them?
Gosh. Okay. So I will say, like, I always tell everyone that like sports has been this common thread in my journey, and basketball specifically has just been this incredible tool that has opened up so many doors. And I want, people that are younger that might aspire to work in sports at a professional level. I would say that it is so important to show up and be present, and do not take no as something that it would stop you. Take no as feedback for maybe not right now, and then we can find another way to get involved. I think my career journey has not been a straight path. I've tried a little bit of everything, as Kevin mentioned, and are open, you know, like I started out on the management side. I went into the broadcast space for a little bit. I came back and I was like, I want to know more about media entertainment and the innovation side. And now I'm back in the management space. But I would say be dynamic, be open, show up and keep going. That really is the way. It's all the things that you actually learn on the field and on the court really do apply in the real world to helping advance your career off the court as a sports professional. So that would be my advice to those that aspire to get involved.
That is well said and great advice. Last year, the Sports Business Journal named Dallas the number one city in America for sports business. And, you know, Monica will never, you know, wants no credit for it. But one of the things interesting about that to me is the Sports Commission has brought a lot of women's sports to Dallas as part of that equation and the metrics that the Sports Business Journal looked at, like two women's Final Fours and many, many other other women's events. Monica's always put a priority on bringing women's sports, and you know, even last fall when the Wings returned to the playoffs, you know, you had two Hall of Famers in Jason Kidd and Dirk Nowitzki, Tim Hardaway, Grant Williams, Derek Lively, Omax Prosper. You had a big contingent from the Mavericks sitting courtside, you know, at a WNBA Wings game, which sends a fantastic message to Mavericks fans, to men, you know, who may not have gone to a Wings game. So why do you, you know, what do you think about Dallas getting that designation as the number one place? And maybe your thoughts on why it would have been and how much women's sports maybe played a part in that.
That's a great question, Kevin. And it's funny because when I think about women's sports has always been a space for innovation traditionally, right? Like it's been a space where people often aren't scared to try new things and they find out that it works well. And then they want to apply it to other spaces and find success in that. So that doesn't really surprise me at all, but I think overall, like how Dallas has embraced women's sports really, I think speaks volumes to like the eye for innovation. And I think there are women's sports is a wonderful foundation for that, but it tells me that Dallas is inclusive, that they want to grow, that they want to be on the most innovative side, and women are actually leading that conversation right now. And so I love that. And I think overall, when we look at particularly, you know, how the city has embraced the Dallas Wings, you know, we love collaborations with the Dallas Wings. That family has been fantastic, and Greg Bibb and Amber Cox, and how they've supported AU thus far. We think that the more times that we have people come, or at least once when you come into the arena and you put your butt in that seat, it's going to be hard for you to find a reason not to come back. All we know that it just takes people to have an open mind to come in and experience the product, and they will return. And so I love how the larger community, you know, some of the NBA players and beyond, how they have embraced women's sports. It's the way to go. And I'll tell you, game recognizes game. Players have embraced it for a while, and they are just bringing along with their influence others that want to follow their lead. So we're right where we need to be. Let's keep that same energy and momentum.
Well, thank you so much for joining us, Megan. This has been a terrific conversation. Really enjoyed having you on. And everybody, get out to the Fair Park Coliseum through March 23rd. Go to auprosports.com to get tickets. Celebrity game this weekend. Check that out. Thanks again for joining us.
Absolutely. My pleasure. Thanks so much, Monica. Thanks so much, Kevin.
All right, everybody. On behalf of Monica Paul and the Dallas Sports Commission, thanks to Philippe Mojo and Megan Perry for joining us. Thanks to the Mic Drop production team, Next Level Marcus Carr. Now, also, I'm about to mention Merrick's Gooden. So in your career, Megan, you've been an analyst on TV. You've been a player development person with the WNBA. So we're going to bring you back on to have you break down Merrick's game from the celebrity game, maybe along with Joe Trahan and some of those media friends of ours too. So
I love that. I put my AU hat on and I put my analyst hat down, but sometimes you might find me on the sidelines to myself. having an opinion about certain plays. So I'll be nice, though. I'll try to be kind in my evaluation.
Well, you will have to let us know. And our final thanks to Tony Fay. Thanks for listening, everybody. Until next time.